Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
We welcome you again to the Mormon Channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and our program, Past Impressions, where we study the history of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the people and places, events and issues associated with the Restoration. I'm Brent Topp, Chair of the Department of Church History and Doctrine at Brigham Young University. I'm your host, and I've been privileged to interview some great guests on our program, and today is no different. We are so pleased to have as our guest today Professor Susan Easton Black of the Department of Church History at Brigham Young University. Susan, thank you again for joining us on Past Impressions.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm delighted to be here.
Susan is a gifted author, has written scores of books on church history, and one of our most prolific writers in the church, and a gifted teacher. And Susan is very, very familiar with Nauvoo. And today we're going to talk about an issue that is near and dear to Sister Black and to all of us in the church, and that is the Female Relief Society of Nauvoo. Aren't we grateful that it wasn't called the Benevolent Society?
We are grateful.
So, Susan, why don't you talk to us about a name that probably a lot of sisters and brethren in the church don't hear as much. Whenever we think of Relief Society, immediately people think of Emma Smith, or sometimes we think of Eliza R. Snow, but they don't always think of Sarah Granger Kimball. Why don't you tell us about Sarah Granger Kimball and her role in beginning Relief Society?
Okay, I'd love to. Sarah Granger Kimball, her father was named Oliver Granger, spoken of in the Doctrine and Covenants, an agent for the prophet down in the Kirtland area. Well, when Sarah moved to the Nauvoo area, she fell in love with a man that was much older than her, and his name was Hiram Kimball. He was actually a real estate developer and very well-to-do. He had his own port. He had his general store in town. And as she falls in love and marries someone not a member of her faith, the big question was, would she be faithful?
Mm-hmm.
The favorite story goes to the time when Sarah has her first son. Her husband comes into the room, and Sarah asks this businessman husband, she asked, what do you think my son is worth? And he said, our son is worth $1,000, which $1,000 back then was almost like infinity.
Uh-huh.
And she then said, she asked him, what do you think I've earned? And he thought she'd earned half. But you realize she's just coming off labor. In my mind, I think she earned the whole thing. But he said that she had earned half. At which point she said she'd like to give her half to the building of the Nauvoo Temple.
Oh, interesting.
Well, her husband laughed, and one day he's walking through the streets of Nauvoo, and he sees to some extent his business competitor, Joseph Smith, who also had a port off the Mississippi and his own little red brick store. And he shared his wife's comments, Sarah's comments, with Joseph. And Joseph indicated that he would then be willing to follow Hiram home, and he'd either take the son or he would take the $500. So Sarah ends up giving actually one of the very largest donations to the building of the Nauvoo Temple.
Huh. And so how did she get involved with this Relief Society notion?
Well, for Sarah, she was more privileged, perhaps because of the wealth mm-hmm. of her husband, to have various people work for her mm-hmm. as opposed to always cooking her own dinners
right.
or things like this. And one woman who's always known to church history as Miss Cook was working for Sarah. And one day, as they looked outside of the window, they saw some men heading to the stone quarry where the men were quarrying the stones, this limestone, to take it up to the temple site. And as they saw that, they happened to notice that the particular men they saw had tattered shirts. And so with this, Sarah merely went in. She got a bolt of cloth out of the store of her husband, gave it to Miss Cook. Miss Cook started making shirts. And so you get this kind of philanthropic mm-hmm. sense of charity. And pretty soon you can find other women in Nauvoo who had the same feelings. And it was Sarah that came up with an idea that we should combine our talents.
Mm-hmm.
And do something then, their specific focus, the men that were working on the Nauvoo Temple.
Interesting. Now, I kind of mentioned somewhat facetiously at the first as we talked about the Female Relief Society versus the Nauvoo Female Benevolent Society. There were benevolent societies in the area, and women were engaged in benevolent societies. Why don't you talk about the difference between a benevolent society and what ends up becoming Relief Society? Because, you know, Sarah had interest in creating this philanthropic or compassionate service society, but it becomes a little different than traditional benevolent societies.
Right. At that time in the United States, you've got 26 states, and in each state, you've got what were called benevolent societies, with the society's headquarters, for the most part, in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, these societies were organizations of women, and their purpose was to assist the poor in their communities. So typically, women would get together. They had bylaws. They had constitutions, very, very formal. But typically, they get together and they would collect things to give to the poor. You have a lot of women are really good at sewing at the time, so quilts, pants, shirts. And in the mind of Sarah, I assume she thought a benevolent society, here you've got this big town of Nauvoo, you've got the men in all kinds of organizations, from the Potters Association to the Carriage Association, the Bricklayers Association, big field for the farmers. And the women by this point actually had a society, but it was the straw hat makers.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a kind of millinery clothing group of women uh-huh. that were together. And in Sarah's mind, I assume because she had philanthropic desires, she thought she could find women like her that would like to have a focus on the poor of the community of Nauvoo.
Interesting. Susan, you've talked to us about the role of Sarah Granger Kimball and Miss Cook and benevolent societies in general. Now let's kind of fast forward to how this intended benevolent society instead becomes the Relief Society. What about the foundational meeting of March 4th, 1842, and what do we learn about that that helps us to have a better vision of what the prophet and others wanted this society to become?
Well, on March 4th, 1842, Sarah Granger Kimball invited to her home women that had her same interest, wanting to form this benevolent society. But to form this society, you needed bylaws and a constitution. And so as the women agreed, we want to do this, they needed someone that could write this for them. Well, the most published woman in the church at that time was Eliza R. Snow. Actually, if you took her poetry writings, you'd come out with 8.5 by 11 paper, 1,600 pages. I mean, she was just creative, and she actually supported herself by writing for the Times and Season and Nauvoo Neighbor, their newspapers in town. So it was agreed at this foundational meeting that Sarah Granger Kimball would contact Eliza and ask her to write the Constitution bylaws. It was Eliza, after she had written it, she passed it by Joseph Smith so that he could see what was going on. And his comment was, according to Sarah, it was the best Constitution he'd ever read.
Mm.
You know, and but he indicated that the Lord had something better for the women, and that he then invited the women, via Eliza, to pass the word that on March 17, 1842, he wanted the women to get out of the Hiram Kimball's Landing mm-hmm. and store and to come to Water Street, and there at the red brick store that Joseph had, would then be another foundational meeting, but this time a foundation of what would soon be the Relief Society.
Interesting. We always think of the March 17th meeting, and I don't think we focus on that earlier meeting that was a foundational meeting. Well, let's talk about then what happens at that significant March 17th meeting at the Red Brick Store. How many women are there, and what goes on at that meeting?
Okay, the March 17th meeting, you've got in the bottom level of this Red Brick Store, you've got the store itself. But then you walk upstairs, and it will be on the second story that the Relief Society will be organized. You've got 20 women that are present. You'd say they range in age from an 18-year-old to someone who's a widow that's 58 years old.
You also, young. When you say 58, that's very young to me. So.
And, you know, of the women, suddenly you realize it isn't just the hat makers or the clothing makers, because attending that meeting will be Emma Smith, mm-hmm. who is considered the First Lady of Nauvoo. And discussion will then go forward. Actually, Joseph liked the word benevolent, but it was a woman there named Sarah Cleveland, who ultimately becomes a counselor to Emma, that selects the word relief. And Emma liked relief, and Joseph agreed. So it will be on March 17th, 1842, then, with 20 women present, that the Female Relief Society will be organized in the Red Brick Store.
And I love the Red Brick Store. It's one of my favorite places in all of Nauvoo because of not only the organization of the Relief Society, but of other significant events that took place in the Red Brick Store and the significance that it had there as kind of the headquarters of the church, if you will.
I see it as headquarters of the church. It's where Joseph Smith's translating the Book of Abraham, where the endowment is ultimately given, sealing of couples, writing of the 13 Articles of Faith, and then in March of 42, of course, in the Relief Society.
And I think those are related, though, is that I find it fascinating that you said earlier that I want you to come instead of from the Hiram Kimball's store and landing, I want you to come to the Red Brick Store. I don't think it was for commercial reasons or a competitive business. It really is somewhat of a temple type pre-temple.
Right. I see it as sacred space.
Yep. And that when Joseph is talking about, I want you to be organized after the pattern of the priesthood, that's where it really is a link. It's just...
Right. It's just a link to all he's been working with and all he's doing.
Well, let's talk about after, with the organization of the Relief Society there, tell us about that first presidency of the Relief Society and how they were selected and that type of stuff.
Okay. They'll actually have a vote for who should be president. And the women elected Emma. And Joseph indicated subsequently that it was in fulfillment of that July 1830 revelation found in section 25 of the Doctrine and Covenants, where it says she will be an elect lady. And you see an election that she is elected. She will actually choose her counselors. And I think it's pretty interesting. The women she chose were women who had actually opened up the home to her in her extremities. So she chose Elizabeth Whitney, as you get Emma staying with the Newell K. Whitney family in Kirtland. And then she chooses this Sarah Cleveland, the place where Emma stays when she's crossed the river and in Quincy, Illinois. So I like the fact she selects women she already knows are compassionate. And then very smart, she selects Eliza R. Snow as her secretary. And, you know, a secretary can make or break you. And Eliza was a magnificent secretary. She took notes of everything, and her notes have been preserved.
What about when you talk about these counselors and Emma being an elect lady, had Emma been involved with those foundational meeting earlier in the month, or had she been involved with the straw hat making or any of those kinds of things?
We can't find Emma in that kind of foundational meeting at the Sarah Granger Kimball place. We can't find her among the straw hat people, but we can find through the writings of Lucy Mack Smith how she she enjoyed writing that Emma was, you know, was so compassionate, you know, time and time again. So you can see Emma has the tendencies ever since you kind of bring her on the scene in church history to want to be helping to others.
And that's the exact thing that I was thinking of, is that she had didn't necessarily need a society to have those that better nature come out.
Right. It's just she loves service.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think that tells us an awful lot of a difference between just a traditional benevolent society and something under the direction of the priesthood that is going to bless lives spiritually and temporally. And so what was Eliza's particular role as secretary in recording history?
Right. Well, Eliza, just because of what she did, we now have so much about the Relay Society. And it's interesting. She will take those notes west. And years later, when she's called to be the second Relay Society president, she harkens back to that foundational, this kind of charity never faileth. And you can just see it. It blessed her life. That kind of small beginning then was spread through the Intermountain West and ultimately now worldwide.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that Relief Society becomes even bigger and more pronounced after the Exodus rather than just in Nauvoo? What's going on in Nauvoo after the organization of the Relief Society in March 17, 1842? What do they do as far as Relief Society meetings or an organization? So the Prophet Joseph Smith turns the key for them.
Right, he turns the key in behalf of women.
And so what happens at that point?
Well, at this point, it's pretty interesting. Relief Society meetings aren't just held in the red brick store, but eventually you can find them being held, almost like the University of Nauvoo. Mm-hmm. They're in houses, they're in barns, they're out in the open. But the thing I find most interesting, kind of harking back to the original meetings when you had the smaller group, that when it came time for what we would say lessons, women didn't teach women back then.
Huh.
That's something that happens in the Intermountain West. So we can find teaching at Relay Society will be the Prophet Joseph Smith, John Taylor, and Willard Richards.
Hmm.
So it's interesting, at least those three ending up in Carthage jail on June 27th. But it's interesting. We know more of Joseph's sermons, his teachings to Relay Society because of the recording efforts of Eliza R. Snow than we know his teachings to priesthood quorums, out by the temple, where he teaches at burials.
Right.
And it's because Eliza is writing it down.
Interesting.
And for those interested to know, well, do we have this because of Eliza's work? And was it towards Relay Society? Joseph talked about a myriad of things. It's obvious he wants these women to be temple worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But invariably, as she records it, he eventually talks about women, you need to bridle your tongue.
Huh.
And perhaps it's a good message for all of us still today.
Male as well as female.
And another topic that he seemed to dwell on was the need for women to provoke their husbands.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't a typical provoke, but it was always provoke them to righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, move out and actually make a difference in this world.
You know, there's a statement that I have always loved, and I know my wife has loved and used so much through her own service in Relief Society is that Emma makes a statement with the organization of Relief Society that the women of the female Relief Society of Nauvoo were going to do something extraordinary. What is it that she means by that, and what becomes of that, if you will?
Okay. So extraordinary today, and no doubt back then meant you do something beyond yourself, that mm-hmm. you'd say, well, here's what I'm capable of, and suddenly you stepped it up. But as Emma tries to figure out in her 19th century mind what is extraordinary, she talks about, for example, if a steamboat mm-hmm. had sunk in the Mississippi, that the women would go out there and they would get it off the sandbar and pull it, into Nauvoo. And you think, oh, my, those women must have been so buffed. But, can't wait to meet them. But But really, it was she knew it would do something amazing. And actually, we've lived through the time to see all of that happening.
Wow.
The humanitarian service throughout the world.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And today on our program, Past Impressions, we're pleased to have as our guest Professor Susan Easton Black, Professor of Church History and Doctrine at Brigham Young University. And today we're talking about the organization of the Female Relief Society of Nauvoo. And you talked that the Prophet Joseph Smith taught the women and others of the brethren, taught the women about the temple and the great doctrines. So when Joseph is teaching the women of Nauvoo and the Relief Society, is he talking about, and I know that this is a dumb question, but he's not talking to them about making straw hats. What is the focus of the teaching to the Relief Society post-1842?
Okay, so post-1842, he's talking the doctrines of the kingdom.
Okay.
It's not just, you know, where do you get your straw? How do you don't find that. He's treating the women like he's treating the men.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that just wonderful. You don't see a sense of this is a second-class citizen he's speaking to. It's obvious he wants the women to reach higher, to know the doctrines of the kingdom, to know so they can be strong, they can have courage themselves, they can eventually follow Brigham out west.
And, you know, and I think that's the point that I want made is that when we talk about organizing the women under the direction of the priesthood, that is the doctrine of the kingdom. And it is that men and women equally need to be conversant in the doctrine and temple-worthy and serving and blessing lives. And I think that this society will do something extraordinary is spiritual, not just compassionate service, even on the rapids of the Mississippi. We're doing something extraordinary that will bless lives and change hearts as well. And Susan, as we've talked about how it came about and the important events that took place on March 17th in 1842 and the extraordinary works that the sisters were committed to doing in their relief work and in their under the direction of the keys of the priesthood, let's talk about as Relief Society leaves Nauvoo, crosses the plains, and now today we've become a worldwide Relief Society. Why don't we talk about the work of Relief Society today and how it may have changed or remained the same from March 17th, 1842 to the 21st century?
Okay. I'm sure each woman, you know, listening who's been a member of Relief Society has had different experiences along the way. But as I see Relief Society, you still see a real strong doctrinal focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still learning then the gospel truths to better my life and those who I associate with, my family. I also see Relief Society is a place to kind of bond together as sisters. For me personally, I gave birth to all sons. I had all brothers. And it's the one time in a week when I can actually be with women and hear what they think.
And you work with 33 other men and only a couple of other women. So
pretty much. Yeah. So anyway, it's a joy to me. I see Relief Society also. There isn't a time where there isn't something that's passed around. Can you cook a dinner for this sister, or mm-hmm. can you feed the missionaries, or here's a chance to work at some kind of a desert industries type of project to help out in something. So for me, it's always a chance to do service, where for me I may say, oh, that didn't come to my mind right away, but I'm always grateful for mm-hmm. the passed around sign-up sheet so I can do something outside of myself.
Yeah, you know, and I think of and I was with you not too long ago in the Red Brick store as we talked about these important issues there. And I thought about how there are so many sisters that will never, ever have the opportunity to be in the Red Brick store or to see that beautiful women's monument by the visitor center there in Nauvoo. And I think of those that may not know anything about Sarah Granger Kimball or really know anything about the history of Nauvoo either of Relief Society in Nauvoo or even in Salt Lake, and yet they have a heritage. They have just as much claim upon the red brick store on March 17, 1842 as women in the East Bench of Salt Lake City in the 21st century. Why don't we talk about the Relief Society today of that linking of all the women together and maybe this new effort that we're all going to be beneficiaries of this new book, Daughters in Thy Kingdom, that is going to come to from church headquarters.
Right. I think Daughters in My Kingdom is just wonderful. Every woman in Relief Society throughout the world will be given a copy. It will be something that can be studied in their homes. It will be a resource they could use for lessons, you know, whatever they're thinking. But this book is really wonderful. It's not a complete history of Relief Society by any means, but what it says over and again, page after page, is that women are of great worth to their Father in heaven and that women have a great work to perform on this earth, from nurturing, caring, mm-hmm. to teaching and all the aspects, the roles of life. And what I particularly like is that it doesn't just feature women in the past, but it features international women with vignettes from their lives of how Relief Society has blessed their lives and what they're doing because of the truths they know to reach out and bless others.
And I think that is the heritage, too, that traces us back to that history of the Relief Society in Nauvoo. As we really come to the end of this program, I want to just ask you maybe a personal question. And you are a gifted historian. You've written so much. You know the history of Relief Society as well or better than anybody. But how has Relief Society actually been a blessing to you in your own personal life?
Personally, Relief Society, I'm a fifth-generation Relief Society president, you know, so I'd say it's in the bones. My mother loved it, my grandmother. But if I were to look and say I've been benefited by lessons, I've been particularly benefited by visiting teachers. I actually like the personal touch where somebody's willing to stop their life to come to my home and ask me, how are you, and really mean it, and sit down for a few moments. And it's interesting. When they come, it isn't just sharing our lives, but they always have a gospel message they'd like me to think about that month. And it's blessed me time and time again.
You know, and I really think I'm glad you shared that. I really think that more than rescuing a steamboat on the Mississippi, I really think that that simple work of Relief Society is doing something extraordinary.
Right. It's like rescuing one life at a time.
Exactly.
You know, being a friend one at a time. And that just caring. And anyway, I appreciate it. You know, my Relief Society visiting teachers, they're saving me seats at church. You know, I mean, I've really got buddies.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. Well, thank you, Professor Black, for sharing with us not only the history of Relief Society as it was established in Nauvoo, but the spiritual nature and the heritage that I think we all have today to that important period in church history.
Thank you. It's a delight to have been a part.
We invite you to listen to new episodes of Past Impressions on the Mormon channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Every Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock, and also in addition to listening to those new episodes, you can also download any episode of any program at any time at mormonchannel.org. I'm Brent Topp, your host of Past Impressions, and we invite you to listen to future episodes on the Mormon channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.